This is part two of the interview with Ryan Finch.
You mentioned the agents. Do you also have administrative staff?
What I also have is I have my sister, who is my COO. So she's in charge of all the operations on both sides. She handles any coordination of anything while I'm out. So she will review offers or reductions or bids or handle problems with, if a client calls in and has an issue with an agent or another side of the agent or has a question about why aren't we getting a response back on an offer or anything like that, or a question about a procedure, she would handle that as well as the management of tasking and organization. Then we have another person that handles all the financing. So we have all the QuickBooks that are up to date as well as all of my business accounts and anything like that. Any checks that are written, she writes all the checks. I would sign them all, but she basically keeps track of all the money. Then we have somebody else that is basically an admin / front desk person. They'll answer the phone or greet customers as they come in. They keep up with spreadsheets and tasking, things like that. We have a virtual assistant who just works from home, data entry into the MLS, websites, postings on Craigslist, different things like that. And then we have a closing coordinator. Closings are, our top priority. And basically she is following up with all the banks, meaning the loans, the appraisal, the termite, making sure she has all that formatted for all of the closings. And then sending out the agents, making sure they're taking care of their tasks, as well as reporting to me so that I can give feedback to our sellers if there's any questions on the closing. I think that's everybody. Oh, and then we have a courier. Takes care of getting the signs up, puts the lot box on, takes pictures, posts any notices, after not the original notices, but posts different things. Picks up HOA docs, picks up checks, different things like that, so I can keep my agents actually working on dollar productive activities.
How are you compensating your agents?
Basically, I set up a fee structure that for REO agents, they're given 40% for each deal that they do. They normally do a good volume of business each month, and so we keep that number basically the same. So their percentage stays consistent throughout the year. Then we have the retail agents, and they are all on a sliding scale, meaning every single month, the first two deals, they get paid 40%, the second two is 50%, and everything after those four deals in a given month is at 60%, and that would be their max that they're paid.
Do you prefer to hire experienced or new agents?
And that's a great question. And we actually have a mastermind meeting in our company, our brokerage, and different team leaders and individual agents get together. And everybody has a different opinion on this. And basically, I go, I don't care what they are. If they're experienced, then that's fine. And my viewpoint is different, and everybody goes, well, it's different, Ryan, in your position because you get these properties from the bank. The rest of us have to go pay for leads so that we can, generate business for our company. And so every lead costs us money, and if we give them to one viewpoint is if we give them to an experienced agent, then they would be handled better. And another may say if we give them to an inexperienced, then they're going to lose more. My viewpoint is that everybody that comes in is going to do it the way that our system is set up. So, and I have basically a lead agent who would train them, and everything is going to be done the same way. So whether you've done this business 50 years or whether you're brand new to the industry, you're going to learn my way. And I don't mean it as it's a my way or the highway, but I need it to be that way so that I can have consistency throughout the organization.
The lead agent who's training the new agents, does the lead agent get additional compensation for doing that work?
He does. We agreed on a 5% fee on each deal that the other agents do because he's going to mentor them and bring them through the transaction.
How long does that happen? Is it for the first X number of closings or first 6 months, or how long is the 5% in place?
As long as the agent's at the company. He also does part of my recruiting. To do the amount of business that we do and the things that we do, I feel like I'm compensated in this industry based on my capacity. You know, everybody does not want to sell 1,000 houses this year. They don't want to sell 100 houses a month. That's a lot of work. It's a lot to keep up with. They go, hey, I could probably make the same amount of money working on my own selling 50 houses. So maybe they do it that way. Anyway, I say that because there's different agents that are on my team. They go, hey, I could go out on my own and do X, Y, and Z or do things this way. And I say, well, if you have capacity to do more, let me give you more. I have more work. There's always more things that can be done or added to your plate, and you can be compensated accordingly. And so essentially we make it where they're vested and interested in building the company, because everything that they can do is something less that I have to do. I mean, obviously that's, of course, that's the way that it is. But I read in a book, basically they said in every organization, deciding how big you want to be and where you want to go means partially deciding how much money you want to make and or how much percentage of equity you want to give up. So to give up a percentage of equity for somebody else's work effort is based on their results. And that's what we do in real estate when we're giving out our business to other agents that work, as well as the same can work for the recruiting of agents and training of agents.
When you mentioned lead agent, do you have two lead agents, one for the REO, one for the retail, or do you just have one lead agent over all of it?
I did have one for each. What I ended up doing was I put somebody, my sister, the COO, is over top of managing for the REO, so we put together a training system for new REO agents versus having one of my REO agents have to stop production to train somebody because that dollar amount wasn't conducive for them or for us due to the volume.
Ryan, you mentioned you've got this big organization and all these people running around. Even though we've addressed it a little bit, some people are probably still out there wondering, are you profitable?
You know, Rockefeller, when he was asked, you know, does he make, how much money is enough money? Do you know what he said? He said, one more dollar. So, you know, as soon as it becomes profitable in your mind, you're complacent. So, you know, am I able to pay the bills and, you know, produce for the business for the people? Essentially, when you get in this position, you're more working on not how much money you make, but how much business you can provide for your people. So I'm always looking out for the next thing that I need to make sure that they have work, that all they have to do is work. I'll provide the business and the financing for it, and not so much looking at the bottom line. I do know that we make a profit. I tend to follow the Apple mindset. This is my own opinion of Apple, is that, you know, they have a lock on the market in the things that they do, and meaning I don't think there's anybody that has a better phone than the iPhone. It's just my own personal opinion. And as well, my own opinion is I don't think anybody in the country does REO as well as we do. And so obviously that's a matter of opinion, and there may be people that do it better, and I just don't know. But with that being said, Apple also has one thing going for them that builds the value of their stock, which is they have money in the bank, and they surpassed Walmart this past year because of the amount of money in the bank as the top company. So anyway, we follow that same model, and that we think that our business is as stable as the amount of funds in the bank, and in order to have that, we must be profitable.
So you are profitable?
Absolutely. That's the goal. How can we be more profitable? How can we do more business and increase the profits, not do more business and lose profit? And or meaning people will go out there and spend money on ridiculous things to generate business that is not really conducive to generating more income for the company. Like, it's a risk. And I have found things. I think I mentioned this earlier. We use Google Docs. You know, other people would pay for a server, or then they have to pay tech fees and computer companies and all this other stuff to have all this stuff. And they say that's a hard cost that you have to have. They say you have to have DID numbers for each of your phones. And I go, I can do the math. And doing the math, I figure out a way to be cheaper than everybody else, because that's profit. Everything, every dollar that I save is me as a business person saying, how can I be better than the next guy? And so if we can do it at a cheaper rate, then we do. So things like Craigslist, that's an ad posting, you know, that you can do. It takes time, but the dollar cost for time to post, if done right, is less than it costs for me to try and generate leads another way. Not leasing cars, not leasing printers, just paying for them and not having to pay things out that way. Just trying to figure out different ways to save money all the time. That not just going with the, all right, look, here's a good example. I pay $3,000 a month for 3,000 square feet of an office space. So that's pretty inexpensive for the amount of transactions that I'm doing. I know people that pay $15 to $20 a square foot, but they're not doing the same amount of business. But they think that you have to have granite countertops and a kitchen and a gym and, you know, catering to everybody else and everything that they need. And that cost essentially trickles down. So agents can't make the split that they want because the cost of the overhead is so high. And then one bad performing month means now you're not profitable this month, which ate into next month's profit.
Did you say you do or don't own your brokerage?
Part of the deal that I negotiated with my broker was for 5% ownership. But so I own ownership in it, but it doesn't pay dividends or do anything for me unless we try to sell the company. So essentially, I'm not an owner is the way I look at it.
Ryan, do you have any other side businesses, the affiliate-type businesses that are related to your brokerage business?
We have a title company. It's a joint venture that, you know, essentially we just do title work for different loan officers and buyers that they choose to use our title company. And then I have the flipping company. So that's for basically buying and selling properties. And then I have properties that I own and manage that run other LLCs. I basically own each property in an LLC, so it runs as a separate company.
A lot of our listeners got into the business because they wanted to be real estate investors. Would you mind disclosing how many properties you own?
We have, I think, 5 right now. I sold off one. Basically, we had a boom in our market, so I got rid of one of those that was costing me money. Then I took the other money to get the other ones paid for. Then I borrowed back against them with equity lines. So essentially, I'm not paying the interest every month on those, you know, to be debt-free. Then I have the available cash in the equity line should I find another deal or property that I want to take down for cash.
So you own those 5 properties free and clear?
No, we have mortgages on 2 of them, a little bit of mortgages.
Ryan, why have you been so successful?
Man, that feels like a loaded question. You asked that question, and I've been asked that before, and my mind doesn't think that way. You know, I told you before, I think of myself bigger than I am. Obviously my ego, and I think a lot of agents have those. But in the grand scheme of things, I know people that do way bigger business than I do. So I don't like feel like I've arrived, and sustaining business is really the true measure of success to me. So meaning you can build up and be there. You're like a vapor today and gone tomorrow, you know. So I guess the long and short of it is I don't necessarily feel like I've made it to be successful yet. I mean, I've worked hard. I've set goals and worked at those things. I definitely feel like God's hand has shown favor in my life. I don't deserve this. I'm not smarter than anybody else. I think that if I can do what I've done in this business, that it means it's capable and out there for anybody and everybody.
How do you keep control of your time?
A lot of delegation. A big part of it is having people around me that I can count on. You know, to do the volume that we do, you'd think that you'd need more personnel, but really what I've found is just people that I can trust, and I don't keep people around me that I can't count on. So it doesn't matter whether you're a buyer's agent or a REO agent or staff. If you're a buyer's agent, you're going to answer that phone like you're me. If you're an REO agent, you're going to answer it like you're going to handle that property like it's mine. And if you're staff, you're going to handle any situation like it's me, meaning they are me in a representation. And if they are not handling it accurately, then the first way I point is at me to say that I haven't given them the direct course of action for how to handle a situation, which we've had to grow, you know, in a lot of things.
How many hours do you work in a typical week?
I don't know. I I keep my phone on me and an iPad, so I kind of will work all over the place. I feel like lately it's gotten a lot more streamlined, and so depending on whether I'm trying to grow or not is the depending factor of whether I'm working more. So if I've got an interview with an agent because I'm trying to recruit agents, then that's going to incur more time. I get about 800 emails a day, which most of the time I'm CC'd on something, so I can just breeze through it. To answer you, 2 days a week I try and work out so I don't get in till 10. And then the other 3 days a week I normally work 8:30 to 5. I like to work. I like what I'm doing. And then I go home, but I still have my phone and iPad, so sometimes I get yelled at for having my phone at the table. But I try not to, and most of the time it doesn't need me. It's just a habit. So essentially I'm working, but I'm not. So I don't know that there's hours now. But I'll tell you, when I was first doing this, I worked till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, people will always say, oh, man, if I had your business and if I, you know, was doing what you're doing. And I go, if you had to do what I did, it may change your mind. You know, I talked about the financial crunch, the stress. You know, it's hard. We bought a house and moved. We got married. We had a baby. I've got a 2-year-old baby. I moved offices. I've just had so much that was been on me. I don't know that anybody would really want to be interested in doing it. And meaning, it'd be great if it was going to last forever, but it's not. So, you know, we won't know whether it was really beneficial, you know, until we find out how long it's going to last.
Ryan, what drives you?
My signature line on my email is changing lives, selling houses along the way. What drives me is that I'm trying to set up a platform to be able to reach into other people's lives and change them. Meaning, God has come in and changed my life, and that I've been so blessed to have the people in my life. And I think the main factor in people's lives is the other people in your life. You can have bad people in your life, and you can have good people in your life. You can have people in your life that really want what's best for you and will tell you the things you don't want to hear and or tell you the things, you know, that are going to guide you and push you through when you can't see clearly. Anyway, those people and things are factors. I feel like I can go into people's lives and not have a motive and just tell them honestly and openly what's best for them. So essentially that's what drives me, is that, remember what I said before, nobody wanted to listen to me when I was when I was doing nothing and I didn't have something that they thought I could contribute. So basically building a platform and driving to be the best so someone would have a reason to want to hear what I have to say.
Ryan, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
You know, I actually, when I sit down with agents that come in to interview with me, and I normally talk to them about the different models that are out there. So, you know, and I say, I don't want you here if this is not the place you want to be. So a brand new agent, I pose the question back on them as what their goal and what they're trying to do. My personal opinion is based on my own life experience. And so meaning I came in and I joined a team. So I do feel that joining a team is probably the best answer. If they're looking for this to be their income to provide to their family, meaning there's only one thing worse than working all month and not making any money. Do you know what that is? Working all month and losing money. And you know, everybody that's a real estate agent knows exactly what that's like. You know, you go out there, you're on a team, and you sell a house, you worked on that house, and if you work all month and you're on a team and you don't sell a house, you didn't put any money out. If you go out there and you're on your own and you spend money on marketing and you don't sell a house, you lost money. And so essentially you can spend money and work and get nothing. On the team model, you can normally work. You're not putting out any money, but you're putting out sweat equity. So worst case, you worked and didn't make any money. So it's a step up. And I think that due to the amount of people that go in and out of this industry, the first thing that they need to do is position themselves to not lose money, because you can sustain not making money. You can't sustain losing money in most cases. I mean, obviously, that's general. But so anyway, so if they're looking to need to provide for their family, my opinion is they should start with a team. They can always, you know, move out of that later. But to go and lose money off the bat, not knowing which way to go, how to generate business, spending money on generating business and trying to work the business is two different jobs, and they're going to take on those two new roles without knowing anything, makes their chances of success limited, in my opinion.
Do you think that top agent interviews like the one we're doing right now with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
I think they're as valuable as the people want to apply what they're hearing. Meaning, I think that there's a lot of good agents out there, and the reason that they are where they are is because they implemented things they learned along the way. So if somebody's willing to tell you the inside and the details of what they do and how they do it, whether it's the model which you want to follow after or not, to the degree in which you listen to it is going to be the degree to which you have success in most cases. I mean, obviously you can go out and be successful and you not listen to anybody at any time. I just think that that's less likely. So ultimately, I do think it's very valuable if somebody's willing to go, you know what, I don't really fully understand this, but I'm going to push forward and I'm going to try and do this.
Where do you see the market going in the next few years?
I think, I feel like we've kind of hit the bottom, at least here in our market. We have a pretty stable market. I can't speak for everywhere. But I do see some new construction is going to be coming up and moving over the, you know, the next 12 months. That's what's going to be moving. The rehab business is going to be moving. And banks are going to start seeing a higher net profit on as-is properties because there's less inventory out there for them to buy that way. And or they're going to see that they're going to lose money. The investors are driving the market, meaning that they have to make an income based on what they buy. If they can't buy bank-owned properties in which they're doing 12 offers and it's multiple offer and they're paying over asking price, means either one, it was listed too low, or two, there's less inventory out there, so they're willing to pay more because they feel like they can get a better return due to low inventory. All right, with that being said, they're going to go in and put offers in on short sales, and that the banks are going to end up taking less on a short sale than they would have to maybe have sold it as a foreclosure. So the market is going to be driven by investors over the next, you know, couple years, in my opinion, because they're going to be putting together the properties that are ready for homeowners to move into. It's still an industry and a market where people can buy at a low rate. So why not buy? If you're going to rent, you're going to rent and pay $1,000 a month and throw away 12 grand a year and you make 30 grand a year, you know, that doesn't make sense. Even if you buy a house and it doesn't gain value, you still would be able to write off the percentage of the taxes to give you a lower tax bracket. Essentially, you're gaining ground because over 30 years you paid something off.
Ryan, I've gotten to the end of my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
I appreciate you taking the time to interview me and ask these questions. I appreciate the efforts that you're going through to help the other agents in this industry, as I know that they are all pushing and doing the best that they can. I do know that I am in a unique situation. I'm very fortunate. I do feel that people can do whatever their goals are. They can set goals and they can accomplish them. There's nothing in this industry that they can't do if they really just set their minds to doing it. I'm open to anybody contacting me if they need anything from me. You know, obviously I want to help as many people as I can, as you know, I feel very fortunate for my position. I don't know how long I'll be in the position that I'm in, and I may change venues to owning more properties than selling them. So, you know, anything can happen, and I think that definitely people putting their heads together, we can do a lot to turn this market around. And I think that it needs to start with us as real estate agents.
Well, Ryan, you share great advice. Your internal belief statement, "I think of myself as bigger than I am," has become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've grown and developed quickly. You listened and learned from mentors, and now you are teaching and mentoring others. By keeping your mind open to new ideas, you are avoiding the success trap. Your 50% savings plan is a model for all agents to copy. I know you have what it takes to create a sustainable and successful business. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club. where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.